and welcome to another episode of the Marketing Showcase podcast. My name's James Marriott. We're in Leeds. We're about more or less halfway through. We're just heading towards lunchtime. There's some rumbling tummies around the building here at Leeds Dock. And it's time for our second live podcast of the day. We have another guest. Hi. I'm going to get you to introduce yourself if you would do.
Hello. Hi, I'm Rosie. I'm the Digital Marketing Manager at Squire Patton Boggs.
Tell us a little bit more about you guys and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an international law firm, 4 to 3 offices worldwide, globally.
Fair enough. What kind of stuff do you specialise in?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty wide-ranging, to be honest. There isn't actually much that you don't do as a company.
Yep.
So it is literally everything.
And what about your role? What's on your desk?
Yeah, so my role is a new one. I've just been here a couple of months, still getting my feet under the table. I have a lot on the agenda, which I'm looking to get through with everybody. At the moment, it's just making sure that the team and the systems, the processes are working in the most effective way, and getting to grips with all of the new technology that is coming, which is, you know, obviously what we're going to be talking about today.
Because we are going to poke the bear somewhat, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
I'm not sure that there is a more emotive or perhaps divisive kind of topic at the moment within, I'm going to say, the marketing world, and I think that could probably apply to pretty much any space, as AI, even down to what we even mean when we say AI, I'm not sure people particularly agree on. So where do you, this is such an open question to ask someone, where do you stand on AI? Is it here to take all our jobs and ruin the world? Or is it something that's going to make everything loads better?
Okay, that's actually an interesting one because I think it's a bit of both, to be honest with you. I think that the way that everyone is utilising AI differs massively, and there are stances that are being taken on whether you're wanting to replace staff with AI or whether you're wanting to help staff with the tools and technologies and the right things to actually help them do their jobs better. And I think those are the two things actually that are the major kind of sticking points, because if you haven't worked that out at all, then you're not really sure what your process, your strategy is. In terms of whether it will take everyone's jobs, no, but it is going to be taking some jobs for sure if it's implemented in the right way. I think particularly copywriting jobs, proofreading potentially as well. And as we exponentially get better, the hallucinations get less, and the quality improves overall. I do think that that is going to be an incline, you know, for sure. But having said that, it's like any tool. So if you haven't trained, if you've done no training within your team, if you haven't implemented it properly, no, it's not going to take anyone's jobs because the people using it don't know how to use it. You know, it's like saying Excel is going to take everyone's jobs. If you're not using Excel properly, it's not going to do anything, is it?
Where does it fit? This is a two-part question.
Yeah.
Where does it fit for you in your role now, in your kind of day-to-day? How are you using AI? And I guess, where does it fit kind of wider within the firm? Because I imagine for different firms who do different things, the risks are quite a bit higher. And I think you fall in that category.
Yeah, absolutely. I think AI in law in particular is quite a tricky subject area. I think we're divided at the moment between people being terrified to use it at all, people worrying about their, you know, law in general. We are seeing an increase of apps that use AI to produce case studies and cases and case files. The issue with that, again, is the proofreading element. It is still that kind of early period, I think, where the inflection point, like people are either rejecting AI as a company and saying we do not use it, therefore we're more trustworthy, or we're saying, okay, we know we do use it, but we're qualifying how we use it. I think all big companies that are in this situation at the moment globally are having this kind of, oh God, how much are we going to be using it? And how also the communication is the vital point, right? Communication to clients. Yes, we use AI, but we use it internally for internal systems, internal communications. Yes, we use AI on some parts of helping us cut down the workload. But what this doesn't mean is X, Y, and Z. You know, there are so many cases of people using AI the wrong way or being lazy with it and trying to replace lawyers with AI tools, which is just not in any way conducive. It's not going to get you good results at the moment. We know how much AI tools hallucinate. We know how much they make up things. You know, if you type in something into Google, the AI overview isn't always right. People presume it is, but it isn't. And at the moment, being ignorant or saying AI did it is not a defense legally in court, right? So if you say, oh, well, the AI told me that this was it, I've been given this information, that's not anything, the courts will not take that as read. They won't say, oh, that's fine. You know, it's the same as ignorance of the law isn't an excuse. At the moment, most regulatory bodies have not actually changed their way of thinking about anything. They don't care if AI was, you know, used in the creation of the materials. That doesn't matter in any way, shape or form. So you have to make sure you're doing the due diligence throughout that time period in order to actually get good output. And that hasn't changed.
It's weird how in a lot of ways AI has sort of been weaponized a little bit, hasn't it? As to, you know, people use it as, or will they use AI as if that's a negative thing? Yeah. Whereas actually, really good at some things, less good at other things, and weaponize it doesn't help anyone because it stops the clarity in terms of seeing what it can do well and what it actually makes things better for. And in our prep ahead of this episode today, this phrase artificial confidence came up.
Yeah.
Just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yes. So something that I have seen quite dramatically throughout my roles, you know, pre-Sky Pattern Boggs and now, you know, people are experts all of a sudden. At AI, I think we're having a Canva 2.0 moment in the sense that when Canva came out, suddenly everyone was good at branding. Everyone could do graphic design. Everyone didn't need marketeers to do visual branding. That was the initial sense. Oh, I can do that. Why pay for anyone in marketing to do it? The same kind of democratization has happened with AI tools in the sense that they're so easy to use. Anyone can use them. And so essentially the people with the least skill sets, but the most confidence, you know, the Dunning-Kruger effect, basically, are suddenly the ones saying, oh, yeah, I can use AI. I can do marketing. I don't need any of these tools. I don't need any of these people. And that's where the danger comes in.
Yep.
But I think that artificial confidence, which is, a phrase that I like quite a lot, is you get that on all ends of the spectrum throughout the intelligence sphere as well. And companies. So the bigger companies globally, you might have this in banks, for example, that have invested millions on their own LLMs, right? For example, I know that some of the big names have done this, but what they haven't done is pay enough money towards implementation or training. And they've also not invested in continuous growth enough because, funnily enough, they don't have the data centers. So the larger language models that everyone uses, ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot, for example, although Copilot slightly less so, all of those systems, they are continually developing. They're investing millions daily and their capacity is growing. And so the actual quality of their output is also growing. I do think that's a challenge and something that potentially people aren't aware of, that their own in-house tools aren't maybe the best item for the job. So that's one area of confidence is saying, you know, yeah, we've actually paid loads of money into our own LLMs, so that's fine. Like, we know how to use it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have that kind of arrogance with AI and not checking it. You say, I've created this marketing strategy using AI. That's brilliant. That's an off the book. There you go. Straight to the clients. That's absolutely fine. They haven't done the due diligence. They haven't put the right data into it, which is absolutely vital. The right data is everything in output. Prompting, and again, the prompts that people are using are crazy. You know, it's like, write me a blog post. That is not going to get you good results. Your prompt should be a paragraph long in order to get you the right output that's actually, you know, and again, it's a mirror. AI is a mirror. It's a tool that holds up to the input that it has from you. All it is machine learning on steroids. Like, it gives the illusion of someone that knows, you know, of thinking. It gives the illusion of being a personality that you can rely on, but it is just manipulation of data. And I think that's where we're getting a lot of these new AI, the wave of AI experts. And realistically, if you don't have a data scientist within your team, are you actually an AI expert? Or if you aren't, you know, from a communication standpoint and you're specializing in prompting, are you a communications, are you an AI prompting expert? I think that those are the questions that I would really be asking. And those are a lot of the issues, I think, that are centered around that kind of artificial confidence.
What do you think comes next? And what I mean by that is everything you've kind of reflected on there was on the basis of, you know, the LLM approach,
yeah,
which is when we talk about AI in its current form is kind of what we're talking about. There's all manner of predictions out there in terms of, well, actually, you know, the next version of AI may actually have some genuine intelligence there.
Yes.
And so it does feel like, you know, it's guesswork at this stage, isn't it, in terms of what that means? Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing you've probably thought about this in terms of what does the next stage of this journey look like? So what are your predictions, if that's the right phrase?
Yeah, 100%. Well, realistically, so custom GPTs or similar, other LLMs are available. Custom GPTs, agents, that those systems in and of themselves are the next level up to just having a chat with an AI system at the moment. People can't do that properly. So I think I'm going to kind of not quite answer your question initially, just because, like with the birth of the internet and all the software and the tools that came with that, the dot-com boom, you have people that are still struggling, the vast majority of people, to manage the base layer. So in terms of that next step, we need to make sure that we're actually using agents properly and the right way, and not just presuming that they can do someone's job. Yep. You know, proper implementation. We need to be looking at custom GPCs or similar. We need to be looking and utilizing those in the right way, the most effective ways possible, because what is next are essentially the next step to those systems being implemented properly. But it all comes down to training. It's always training and implementation. Because if you don't implement and train properly, you know, there's no point in saying, oh, yes, well, these AIs are getting more intelligent. Well, that's great, but the people using them necessarily aren't. And you know, some people are still scared of Excel, like I said before. Like, people are scared of a lot of technology. I've come across quite a few companies that say no, full stop, to using AI, which I know is something that some law firms are doing. Again, because that the overarching use cases for AI is so ingrained, it can be in every facet of the business, that, you know, we are struggling. We're at that point where people are either embracing it and moving forward, or they're going, oh God, you know, the panic is setting in. In terms of what is next or what should be next, realistically, we've got a couple of options, right? So we're going to have businesses and entrepreneurs using AI in every single facet of their company. We're going to have AI workers. We're going to have, which all have already started happening. They are a bit rubbish. I've trialed some of them in my own time, and they're not brilliant. Digital twins, though, they're another thing that are actually taking off. In terms of customer service, brilliant. In terms of, and again, this, how much data you're putting in. So for all the companies that have been recording their data sets for ages, so calls, that's a form of data. Emails, that's a form of data. If you're using those to train your own custom model and utilizing that to then create an AI voice that can speak to people, for example, that is an actual sensible, smart use case for it. That's, it might be very Black Mirror, but is that not better than the whole music? Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone said that call centers were going to bring an end to, you know, customer service. And it's like, this is like the next phase of that. That's just one area. So using AI properly, because the voices are getting so much better as well. That is massively something. Recording your own calls and emails and the way that you speak and communicate can cut down on a lot of admin. Again, people are really scared of that. And data is really important in terms of getting out there. Compliance, you need to make sure that the data you're putting in, you read the T's and C's. That's very important. From a law perspective as well, you have to read the T's and C's. Don't just be willy-nilly using all of these LLMs, these different AI tools, without going into their T's and C's section and analyzing that. Especially because some of the data that you can use in these tool sets, they will have something in there that says we use all this information to train our models.
Right.
You might not want that. And in fact, that's actually one of the things I don't think people are doing. Everyone's using everything because it's so exciting and not thinking about what they're actually putting out there. And like, from a data security point of view, that's really troubling. And I think, you know, anything that you put into most AI tools at the moment is searchable on the internet. And I don't think people are really aware of that. You know, spending £20 a month on ChatGPT does not make your data safe. people assume it is, they will not take all of the liability.
Yep.
So there are things that you need to consider, and that the way that you're doing it needs to be intelligent and thought out and thorough. And I think that the best thing to do is just use individual use cases. Just have a specific tool or a specific area of the business that you think, right, I believe that this can be done quicker, better, implemented, and trial it, A/B test it, do it properly. Don't just rush into it and go ham. Because again, going back to this like confidence and arrogance thing with AI, some people are just going, right, let's just get the entire company on this AI platform, but we don't really have any use cases for it within each department. Let's just give it to everybody and then try and justify it with an ROI at the end of the year, which is going to be extortionate. I think you're better off doing it the other way around, you know, giving a few people some tools.
I think you make some excellent points. I do feel like we've probably barely scratched the surface.
Yeah, we have
there, and we've run out of time, and I can see they're getting ready to start a new seminar next door to us, so we'll have to wrap it up.
Thank you very much.
If anyone listens to this and drastically agrees or drastically disagrees with you and wants to follow more of your content, what's the best way to do that? Is it LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn, Rosie McDonald on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.